Our guest today is Dr. John Sheehan of Sheehan Early Hypnosis Center, and we're going to talk about hypnosis or derivatives of hypnosis, and there's a lot of misconceptions about it.
There are indeed, Rick. It's good to be with you and your listeners today. Hypnosis, at the most basic definition, is simply a state of being very, very relaxed, that sort of twilight state that you're in just before you fall asleep at night. It's a normal state. It's not something, unfortunately, the perception that many people have about hypnosis is what we've seen in the movies or see on television or even in the stage presentation. But the reality is much different than that. The reality of clinical hypnosis is simply an ultra-relaxed state where you hear every word that's being spoken. There's generally music being played, and you hear all those notes, unless your mind decides to wander and think about something else, but your subconscious mind hears everything that the hypnotist says.
Well, that kind of just changes what somebody might think of as far as hypnosis. And is it easy to... Can anybody be hypnotized?
Anybody who wants to be, Rick. Anybody. There are two requirements. You have to want to be hypnotized, and you have to be of normal intelligence. You can't hypnotize someone against their will. That just doesn't happen. That happens in the movies and in television programs, but in real life, it doesn't happen that way at all. The person has to be willing to do it, has to want to do it, before it can happen.
Is hypnotism a form of changing one's habits, or is it a cure-all, or...
No, well, it isn't a cure-all, Rick. Unfortunately, over the years, a lot of claims have been made about what hypnosis can do. Many of them are true, but there are a number of them that aren't true. But hypnosis is something that people can use to change a habit. If you think of your mind as being in two parts, if you think of an iceberg where just a little bit of the iceberg is above the surface of the water and a huge amount is below the surface of the water, if we use that as a comparison to the human brain, then we think of the small part that's above the water as our conscious analytical mind. That's the part of people's minds right now that's listening to what I'm saying and comparing it to what they've already read or seen or heard or what they believe. And if it sounds reasonable, then they will let that thought get into their subconscious mind, which is that large part below the surface of the water. If they don't agree with it, they'll do one of two things. They'll either alter what I'm saying so it does fit what they believe or they've read or they've heard and let it in, or they'll just outright reject it. In that bottom part of your mind, or my mind, is the storehouse. It's the part of our mind that controls the autonomic things that go on. For instance, it tells our heart to beat, our eyes to blink, our blood to circulate, our liver to do what it's supposed to do. It's where all those internal functions go on. The difference between the two, precise difference between the two, is in our conscious analytical mind, that smaller part of our mind, we can only hold one thought at a time. People say, oh, I've got five or six things going on in my mind at the same time. It's really not possible. You may have five or six things that you're thinking about rapidly, very rapidly, so rapidly that it doesn't seem to be any pause between those thoughts, but there's enough of a pause to make them separate thoughts. But in your subconscious mind, that's where all of our memories are stored, from our very first memories of everything we've ever seen, smelled, tasted, touched, sensed, from our very first memories. And that's where all habits are formed, the habit, for instance, of driving a car. If you're thinking about your destination, if you're thinking about what you're going to have for dinner tonight, you're not driving the car. Somebody else is. Well, it's your subconscious mind that has that habit. It knows what to do. The same thing holds true for the autonomic section, portions of your life. It tells your heart to beat. So your subconscious mind can do a lot of things at once. It's a place where habits are formed, but it's also the place where habits are reformed. So I saw somebody this morning who wants to stop smoking. So we're going to use the same strength of mind that has kept this person a smoker to make them into a non-smoker, and it's simply a matter of changing the habit from one way to another.
Now, is it somebody, when you put them up to, under a hypnosis, are they asleep?
No, they're not. They're just in a very relaxed state. It's that twilight kind of a place just that you experience just before we get ready to go to sleep. And the purpose of it is to busy up that one thought conscious mind doing something else, listening to me talk or listening to music, so that I can put a thought directly into their subconscious mind the way I want it to go in there, so that it's not altered in any way. And then once the thought is in there, we put in a trigger. For instance, in this case, we use the color red because it's the most prevalent color in society, in our society anyway. And so every time this person sees the color red, it's going to reawaken the thought in their subconscious mind that they are no longer a smoker and that they're never going to smoke again. And so when they come up to a stoplight or a stop sign, or they see a car or a truck or a van or somebody in a red shirt, red ball cap, it awakens that thought, and every time it wakes it up, it makes it stronger, and it makes it easier to wake it up the next time. Now, he'll remember what I said about the color red for a day or two, but eventually life will take over, and he will forget about it, but his subconscious mind won't. So when the color red goes in through his eyes, goes into his subconscious mind, that thought wakes up again, and that's how hypnosis works, to help change a habit.
So sort of like filtering.
It gets rid of the filter, exactly. It puts thoughts directly into somebody's subconscious mind the way the hypnotist wants them to go in, so they're not altered. I mean, if you were to do that and say to somebody, you really don't want to smoke because you know it's harmful for you, you know the chances of getting cancer are really, really strong, and on and on and on and on, they could be saying finally to themselves, yeah, but I really like to smoke. Yeah, but, you know, the stats are not really that definitive, or... yeah, but, you know, my grandfather smoked, and he never, for years, and he never got cancer. All those things filter what I would be saying to you, and so what would go into your subconscious mind, if you let it in at all, would be something vastly different from what I wanted to go in. But if you're in a state of hypnosis, your mind isn't going to be doing that. Your conscious mind isn't going to be doing that, and the thoughts that I put into your subconscious mind are going to go in there unchanged.
Wow. Very interesting and very complex. The mind is very complex.
It is, and a very powerful tool. All those habits that we have that we really don't like can be changed using that same mind. It's just a different approach. It's a different way of doing it.
Now, does a weak-minded person, if that's what you want to call them, or somebody, a strong-minded person, I mean, they're going to have to, no matter what the mind is, it's going to want to get some help. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I think people get to a point. We have people that come to us after they've seen a physician, and the physician has said, "I'm seeing a shadow in your lungs," or "I'm worried about your weight and what it's doing. You're developing type 2 diabetes," or any kind of a host of things. Oftentimes, we'll get their attention, and fear is a great motivator, as we know, and they'll come to see us because a physician has said to them, you really have to do something about this or you're going to be in big trouble.
Very interesting. Now, in this relaxed state, is it easy to pull somebody out of that relaxed state where they're conscious again, or do they remember that they went through this treatment? Or
Well, if you're asking if people get stuck in hypnosis, the answer is no, they don't. And I want to impress upon your listeners, too, that it's a normal, being relaxed is normal. This kind of society we live in today might not seem that way, but being in a relaxed state of mind is a normal thing for the human body. And so somebody who's really relaxed, sometimes I can see a client going a little too deep and they're on the edge of sleep, and I'll bring, just say, come back up a level, and I'd bring them back up a little bit. But people who go that deep into a state of relaxation are the ones who are really, really successful, because they allow themselves, they trust the hypnotist, and they allow themselves to relax to that point where the hypnotist can do the most good.
So in essence, when somebody comes to see you, I guess your first order of business is to get them to trust you and be relaxed and talk to you and begin that process.
Exactly. And we make sure that the person who is coming to see us for whatever they want, change they want to make, is their idea. We sometimes have well-meaning family members that will drive somebody to come to us. I don't mean literally in a car. I mean just keep hammering at them to come and make this change. If it isn't the person's idea, if they don't want to do it, if they're coming simply to get somebody off their back or out of their ear, probably isn't going to work. You have to want to make the change. If you do, then you're 90% of the way to success. But if somebody else wants you to do it and you're really not enthused about it, probably not going to happen. And we try to screen that out with people on the phone because I don't want somebody to spend their money and my time when I know that it's not likely to work. And we've had people who have been driven to us to change a habit, and I've had them on the phone, and then sometime later it becomes their idea after thinking about it, and they call again, and we see them. So it has to be the person's idea. They have to want to make a change.
Wow. What about personal secrets that you hold back? I mean,
no, because you're not in that. That's in that truth serum kind of movie hypnosis and television hypnosis. The person is awake. They're not going to do anything or say anything that they wouldn't do or say as they walk into the room. I mean, if I've got you in a deep state of hypnosis and I say, Rick, I want you to go down to the Wells Fargo Bank. I want you to hold it up. I want you to bring all the money back to me. Well, if you're not inclined to do that when you're not in a state of hypnosis, you certainly aren't going to do it when you are in a state of hypnosis. And if I ask you to reveal all the secrets about, you name it, to me, if you're not inclined to do that, you won't do it because you're not in my power. I'm just the person who's coaching you through this thing. I'm the person who's speaking to you the words to accomplish what it is you want to accomplish.
It's sort of like a vehicle.
Yep, exactly right. That's a good way to put it.
Wow. Yeah, so the old myth of making somebody bark or cluck like a chicken, that doesn't really happen, does it?
Well, it does, sure. It does. It doesn't stage hypnosis. But let me tell you, that I go to a conference each year. Elizabeth and I go to a conference each year put on by the National Guild of Hypnotists that's attended by nothing but hypnotists. And as of the evening entertainment, we have stage hypnosis shows. Now, these shows are the people who go up on stage are certified hypnotists. That's what they do. And so when they are told to bark like a dog or cluck like a chicken or told that, oh my gosh, all of a sudden all of your clothes have disappeared and you're going to react the way that you would if that happened in real life, they act that way. They do bark. They do cluck. But they know what they're doing. It just gives them an excuse to be silly on stage. But everybody in the audience knows that they know what's going on. So in that regard, that kind of thing is done for fun, and it is great fun. I mean, if you've never done it and you have the opportunity to do it, I think everybody should give it a try. But it's a completely different form of hypnosis than clinical hypnosis, which is used as an adjunct to traditional medicine. We have physicians and mental health professionals who send us people. Patient compliance has now become big with hypnosis. We have people who are supposed to be taking medications or doing certain things or not doing other things who can't seem to quite get to where they're supposed to be, and we work with them to help them get to that point.
So they can't really become dependent on a hypnosis, can they?
No. The way we practice here at the center is that we want to have people come to us, and we want to have them make the change they want to make, get it cemented in place, and then as quickly as they can, leave. We don't have people come back again and again and again and again. We have them come back as long as it's necessary to effect the change that they want to make, and then we want them to go out and tell the world that they were able to make this change, and here's how they did it.
Is there an age limit? I mean, can anybody?
No, there really is. I mean, there is a lower end limit, I think, probably, depending on the child, because some children are precocious, but depending on the child, probably six or seven. I saw a seven-year-old boy recently who was not comfortable with a fastball hurtling towards him, a baseball coming flying at him, and would duck away. And we fixed that for him so that he can now play and enjoy it. But about six or seven, and then the upper limit is, I think, the person that we saw that was the oldest was 96 or 97.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and I have seen movies of people who have had surgery, somebody had their appendix removed, and the only anesthesia they used was hypnosis. So it is a very powerful tool used in the right way. it can do tremendous good.
What about somebody who's insane?
Well,
I mean, they have to be, I guess, certified. Or how would you know
well,
that?
Well, you wouldn't. But, I mean, what change would that person want to make? You mean to become sane?
Yeah.
No. No. We can, you know, we work with people a great deal for stress. We work with caregivers who are so stressed. If you can imagine the life of a caregiver who's every waking moment other than work is spent taking care of someone who's either unwell or someone who's aged, and have that almost unrelenting stress in their life, hypnosis can help them with that. And we do that a lot. We can help people with that are undergoing treatment for different diseases who with a side effect of nausea. We can help with that, too. So it can be used for a variety of things like that. But we leave the field of mental health to the mental health professionals. They send someone to us and say, would you please help this person do this? This is the effect I would like to have before they come back to me. We work that way. There are times when people will come to us or want to come to us because they have pain and they can't get rid of it using prescription drugs. We don't see them without a note, a letter from their physician because hypnosis can mask pain, but we would never want to mask pain if it meant that we were hiding a condition that needed treatment. So we're very
oh, really?
Careful about that. Yeah. Yeah,
if somebody has back trouble and they know they have back trouble and they have, you know, a spur or whatever the case may be on their back, and there's corrective surgery is not really an option, and they want to stay away from drugs as much as possible, then they could be hypnotized, I suppose.
If with their physician's permission.
Mm-hmm.
We can hypnotize them. We can either lessen the pain, and we can move it to someplace else. We sometimes change it to an itch, if that's preferable. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, I don't want you to think that we have people standing in line down the street. But, I mean, all those kinds of things are doable because the human mind is a very powerful tool, and we hear that a lot. But it's kind of a throwaway line. But we see it a lot. We who are in clinical hypnosis see that a lot. We see the strength of somebody's mind to make a change, to give them relief from something that's really bothering them. And as long as we have permission to do it, not only from them, but in this particular case, as I told you, if it's masking pain or lessening it or changing it to an itch or something else, as long as we have permission to do it from their physician. We do pretty well. I mean, it'll be better. I'm not saying it'll be completely gone, but it will give relief.
That's good to know because there's a lot of pain associated with that. You really there's not much you can do about it, and you have to deal with it.
Yes.
And this is a form of dealing with it. Is it? Did someone sort of go on a self hypnosis to be able to continue this, or is
we can teach people how to do it's stress makes any kind of pain worse, as you can imagine, and it kind of feeds itself. Pain causes stress, and stress makes the pain exacerbates the pain. So we teach people how to relax. We see probably I would say 95% of the people that we see in 95%, stress is either the root cause or a major contributing cause to whatever we're seeing that person for. So if you look at our website, you'll see we've devoted huge amounts of space to talking about stress and its effect on the human body.
What is your website, by the way?
It's Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, early, like early in the morning, hypnosis.com.
Okay. We'll just kind of remind people as we get with each of these interviews here.
Sure.
What is hypnotic induction?
That's just the beginning of putting someone of helping someone to relax to a point where the suggestions can be made. It induces. If you think of hypnosis and you change the word hypnosis for the words ultra relaxed or very very relaxed, those you can use those in your mind interchangeably. So inducing a state of really deep relaxation. There's the word hypnosis, trance, things like that. But it really is just a very deep state of relaxation when you're hovering right on the edge of sleep.
And you've mentioned several types of cures or problems that you've encountered in this field. What are some of the other ones that are maybe something that's a little different, or you can help people stop smoking? You've talked about pain. You've talked about...
Yeah, we have people who sometimes are depressed, people who have ended a relationship and they just can't get away from it. They can't get it out of their mind. So we see people for that, people who are having mood swings. We see children just before the end of the school year and just before the Christmas break. We have test anxiety students that come to see us. Some come back every year for a tune-up, as they call it. They do perfectly well with their class assignments. They do very well with their project assignments or their labs. But when the time comes to take a test, they just freeze and they cannot come up with the answers. So we work with them to help them overcome that test anxiety. It's not a substitute for doing the work. You have to have done the work. But there are students who work very, very hard. They get marvelous grades, except when it comes to the test. So we work with them to help them get past that. We have people who bite their fingernails or people who twirl their hair. Hypnosis can help them stop that. We have people who are afraid of the dentist. We can help them with that. People who are afraid of snakes and bats and bugs and birds and name it, we can help them with that. We can help people prepare themselves for surgery so that they're going in with a calm state of mind, which means that their rehab and their healing is going to go a lot better for them. So
sure.
It's not a cure. I want to say that clearly. It isn't a cure. It's a tool that's used by professional hypnotists to help make treatments of traditional medicine work better.
Well, it's not like there's, you're in a very specific field, and
yep.
There's not many of you. At least I don't know many doctors of hypnosis. This is unusual, doctor.
Well, my field, I have two doctorates. I have one in philosophy with a specialty in ethics, and I have another one in human communication. But I don't know of anybody who's ever started their life. There are a few people who have started their lives out as hypnotists. They come to it through other fields most of the time. Physicians generally have some sort of, in their medical training, have some sort of time spent learning hypnosis. Dentists may have it in their schools. Psychiatrists, as I said, physicians do it. Psychologists may do it as well. But they're busy doing other things full-time. This is what we've elected to do full-time. So we work with people who are suffering from PTSD, and they just can't get themselves to a point where they can sit down with a mental health professional, a counselor, a therapist, a psychiatrist, or a psychologist. They just can't get there. Hypnosis can help them get to a point where they can sit down and do that. It is not a substitute for medical care. It is an ancillary part to it.
Do you get referred to by, the VA or... somebody?
We have physicians that refer people to us, yes.
Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. So, we've covered lots of...
We've covered it.
Yes, sir. We certainly have. It's been a pleasure, doctor.
Well, thank you so much for... it was lovely to chat with you. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to talk to you and to talk to your listeners. And if folks have any questions, they're certainly welcome to give us a call. We'll try to answer them more specifically than we were able to do at our time today.
All right, good. It's Sheehan Early Hypnosis, right?
Center. .com, yes.
And .com, yes. Telephone number 792-1138.
Correct.
And you're located at 104 Homestead Drive.
Exactly. Yep. Right. We have stayed away from the commercial downtown area to keep our fees as low as we can possibly have them, and it's worked, I think, to the advantage of the people that we've been seeing since 2011, so... We hope and expect to continue that.
Terrific. Thanks, doctor. It's
Thanks.
Been a pleasure to talk to you,
Thanks.
Sir.
Good to talk with you, Rick.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.